There, is that on? Oh, I'm tired. I didn't get a nap. Had three little girls and a preteen girl all afternoon at my house. Had a lot of fun and ate some food and didn't get my nap. So we're going to have to sing and keep me awake, keep me going as I try to lead service wells in tonight. But I really enjoyed doing this. Trust we had a wonderful morning. Choir, thanks again. You did a great job. Did a fabulous job. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to the special music and testimonies tonight. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And our choir is going to open us up with "Nothing Can Ever, Nothing Ever Will." So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on our service. Lord, we love you and thank you so much for your goodness to us, your blessing upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Thank you for the wonderful service we had this morning and the many visitors that came this morning, Father, and many for the first time, Lord, and a few for the first time in a long time. I pray that we were able to show ourselves friendly, minister to their hearts and to their soul, that we might see some more of those folks in the near future and get a chance to minister to them. And now, Father, I pray that you'd bless our time tonight as we are here as a church family with special music and instrumentals and a time of testimonies, Lord, and just rejoicing of the goodness of God. And then, Lord, we look forward so much to that and the fellowship that follows. Now, bless, Father. Have your will and way. May you be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. And together, let's have to take a moment of their greeting time as the choir comes down. Go ahead and make your way back to your seats. All right, we have got several people signed up to sing or minister in some way tonight, so I want to get into that and give a quick little rundown on some guidelines to help us to keep things moving right along. And I've already instructed our sound guy to turn me off while I'm singing. And so we'll get, just don't forget, we're going to make your testimonies brief. We've got several people singing. We're going to try to do a testimony and then a song and then a hymn and then also a family or a person or a group come and sing, and we'll go through. And as we'll look at the time and toward the end, if we have time to do a few things more, we will. But we have several signed up. So keep your, well, we want you to give testimonies, but make it brief and to the point. And then let's see. And I will try to remind you, as you see, the Witt and Robinson family is already here, and then they will be up next, and the next will be the ladies' trio, and I'll try to remind you, so during the hymn that we're singing, you can make your way to the front to get ready before you sing. So, before we get started tonight, anybody have a favorite? You share a testimony, and you give a favorite song, and we'll sing one verse of that song, and I need to get me a hymn book. Who will be first? Who will be first? Yes, Brother Leonard. Hymn number first, so I can find it.
Number 88.
All right, go ahead, brother.
It was a wonderful day to be in the Lord's house.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to thank my fellow choir members for their dedication and hard work.
Amen.
And I think all was very glorifying to our Lord. What a blessing it was to be part of that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It was very, very enjoyable. All right, if you have your hymn book, turn to hymn number 888. Excuse me, 88. 88, we'll sing verse 1 or verse 2, Brother Leonard. Do you care? Does it matter to you? All right, let's sing verse number 1. family and Jesus loves me.
Now we would like for you guys to sing the last verse with us of Yes, Jesus Loves Me.
Good job. All right. Thank you so much, girls. All right. Let's see here. We have another testimony and a favorite. Who will be next? Yes, Brother Cherry.
Partial testimony. I just want to...
Hymn number first.
Okay. 451.
451.
It's been a blessing having Pastor Joe with us this week. Just in things we've been able to do and fellowship and friendship and hearing his messages on Wednesday and then on Saturday to the Bible study that we go to. It's just been a real blessing. And then on a separate little side note, Amelia's been teaching me the second song in our children's
church
so that we can try and sing it in there. Because I knew the first one, but I didn't know that second verse and all the hand movements. So she's been teaching us that when we've been singing.
Amen. Amen. Have a favorite verse. Yeah,
let's
sing, hymn number 451. The old account was settled. We'll sing the first stanza and the first chorus. Thank you.
know my God can do it. Look under Michelle. We'll take this brief intermission while we do. I know it's a little early. Aren't you glad we're not live streaming? Okay, we'll find it. We'll go to the next one. Okay.
Yes. Let's see. Brother Tony, you ready? I want to just jump in and we'll switch to these girls. Ladies trio, come again.
It's worth the wait.
Through a sweet day. glory. Well, amen. When storms are raging, He is the rock of ages. I know that He is able, mighty is He. Well, I know my God can do it to Him. There's nothing to it. I know He'll see it through His sweet victory. Well, even when storms are raging, He is the rock of ages. I know that He is able, mighty is He. I know that He is able, mighty is He.
Wonderful thing to serve a Lord that can do anything. Amen? All right, let's see here. Pick up where we left off. All right, another testimony in a hymn. Brother Dave, song number first. 314. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. All right, hymn number 314, Ring the Bells of Heaven. Sing for us.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your
later in the service, we'll be taking up our offering. Remind you that may have forgotten this past week, Wednesday night, Brother Joe Perdentino and his wife was with us and preached for us, presented his ministry. We voted to pick him up and support. And then the love offering, some came in this morning and in tonight's all come in that's not designated for your tithe. We'll go to the missionary, and he's also going to come to sing for us a little bit later. I tried to twist his arm to get him to sing in English and in his Filipino dialect or Filipino language. We'll see what he does. No pressure, brother. Let's see here. All right. Who will be next with a testimony and a hymn and a testimony? Who will be next? Come on now, dog. I don't jump at once. I don't want to volunteer anybody. Brother Enoch. 322. Okay, brother, go ahead.
And I'd like to thank the Lord. I'd like to praise you for the talent that God has given our members here. Just watching play go up there. The Lord knows exactly when to put the right people at the right time. Uh-huh. And I know that it's very comforting for the pastor when we have that talent and then it's being used for the
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, the hymn is hymn number 323. It's Standing on the Promises, and we can't stand on the promises when we're sitting on the premises. So let's stand up. We'll sing the first and the last verse, the first and the last. Give you a chance to stretch your legs before we go. 323. Standing on the Promises. And so stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Hymn number 322. Next, our ladies' ensemble. Excuse me. ladies. What a blessing. All right, who'll be next? Who is next with a hymn and a testimony? Who'll be next? Yes, my brother. Standing on the Promises, 323. That means, okay, don't get mad at me. We're standing again. It's his fault, okay? Amen. You're going to make my head swell. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Again, we can't stand on the promise that we're sitting on the premises. Let's sing that number. Let's go ahead and do the first and last of this one as well.
At the end. but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or blood, but his presence goes before me. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Many things about I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, and I know who holds my hand.
To thank you, Harvest Baptist Church, the preacher, and my friend, Mike and Agnes, for allowing us to stay in their house. You know, we have a saying back home that visitors like fish, you know, after 3 days, they stink. We are not planned to stay that long, you know, but something happened to our car back in Colorado. And that's why we were able to stay with them for about 10 days. And we are thankful for allowing us to stay with them. And thank the Lord for the food we ate every day. And thank God for Michael for cooking for us, driving around for me. And thank you so much for taking us on for support. It's been a blessing, you know. I was just really surprised what the preacher did and your decision last Wednesday. Thank you for the privilege and giving us the opportunity for the partnership. And thank you for allowing us, you know, to be a part and extension of your ministry to the Philippines. And please send your preacher to the Philippine Islands. And, you know, back in our country, we speak two languages. And we speak English in our country. That is our second language. That's why when the preacher will go there, he will never need an interrupter. I will let you loose, you know, preach, you know. You can preach as long as the Holy Spirit leads you. And people just stay, you know. They will not stand up and take off. And that's what the people we have, you know. We love to hear preaching. I believe as I hear you preach this morning, I told to my wife, that's the preaching we like to hear back in our country. I don't want to make your head big, you know, but I will tell you, you will be a blessing to our people. And I will be hosting a preacher's fellowship when you get there, so you will be able to have the opportunity to preach to our pastors and preachers that I fellowship in the area. And you know what? in our language, Brother Enoch, we got a lot of borrowed words from the Spanish, you know, because we've been colonized by the Spanish for over 400 years. And like we have the window, we call it ventana, you know, the chair, we call it silla, the glass, drinking glass, we call it vaso, you know, the shoes, we call it zapatos. Heart, we call it caroton, you know. And we got a lot of Spanish words that we used to say and borrowed from the Spanish. But most of the time when we speak, you know, we speak bilingual. You know, we are having a hard time to express it in Tagalog, but when we say it in English, you know that, Jane, you know, our people understand it, you know. because that's the way we do it. You know, most of our communication back in our country are bilingual. Most of our textbooks that we have back in our school are written in English. We just only have, I believe, one or two books that are written in our language, which is the Filipino or the national language and social studies. But most, the rest are written in English. I learned speaking English from college, but from grade school, we are teaching English. You know, and road signs are written in English. When you will be staying in hotel, you know, you will be hearing some newscast in English, and that's the blessing. You know, the Philippines and American have a good relationship up to this time, and we are thankful. I got two things that I would like to be thankful to the American people. First of all, back in the World War II, you know, you sent your troops to the Philippine Islands to liberate us from the Japanese imperialism. I've been thankful for the servicemen that around here. Brother Mike has been in Marine Corps. I believe Brother Curry has been in Navy. And I guess Brother the preacher is used to be a soldier. After this time, he is a soldier of the cross. And I've been thankful for you guys. And thank you for sending your troop to the Philippine Islands back in World War II to liberate our people from the Japanese imperialism. But after that, I'm very thankful so much for what you did to our people, because you sent your missionaries to liberate our soul from the bondage of sin. And thank you for what you did for our people. And I would like to sing one more song. I hope you don't mind, you know. And preacher asked me to sing a song. And I told to our dear lady here that she will be playing for me. I'll try to sing a very familiar song in the Baptist congregation, Mansion Over the Hilltop. I'll sing a couple of verses from here, and then I will sing it in our language. You know, some American people, they told me that whenever they hear our language, it sounds like a crackling chicken. So you will find it out, you know, how our language sounds. And I want you to sing with me at the last part of the song, because it is in song number 89, Mansion Over the Hilltop. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Kahit na kubo ang aming tahanan, dito sa lupa'y may kasiyahan. Pagkat sa langit ay may naghihintay na kahari gintong lantay. Ako'y may bahay na di masisira doon sa langit na walang hanggan. Wala nang hapis at laging sariwa sa piling ng Diyos na mahal. mayaman, though open, tempted, tormented, and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow is stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion, sing with me, just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday you'll wonder, we will never more but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. You invited me to go to the Philippines Wednesday night. Guess what came in the mail Thursday? My passports. Our passports came back as we renewed them. I love you, Brother Joe, but I don't like you. You can preach good and you can sing good. I can only do one decent. leave it up to Brother Leonard. Leave it up to Brother Leonard. All right. All right. Now you have to put a zero after your love offering for Brother Prudentino. All right, General, if you'll come tonight, we'll take up our offering. Our evening offering, of course, the offering tonight will go to Brother Prudentino and his wife and his family there in their ministry in the Philippines. All right, Brother Draper, please ask God's blessings upon the offering tonight.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this wonderful day, this wonderful house, and this wonderful group and gathering we have. And Lord, I just can't help but believe whether it's Spanish or American or Russian or Chinese, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ be preached and lifted. And Father, we just thank you that this group of people are like-minded, that we all love the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we'd ask your blessing upon this offering, that we can return a small portion of what we have so wonderfully received from you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Stay meant to redeem.
wait to see him. Amen. Have your Bibles tonight. Let's open Acts chapter 2. It is the last portion of this study, so I will be brief. And we'll get over and have an opportunity to have some time of fellowship and some food over there. Acts chapter number 2. We'll read from our text, verse 41 through 47. And we'll pick up, if you have your handout, of What Makes a Church Great, part 4. What makes a church great? And this is the very tail end of it, so it is relatively short. We have looked at the acronym WIFE as we've studied about the local church or the bride of Christ. W stands for worship. I for instruction and F for fellowship. And tonight we'll look at the letter E, which stands for expression. And that will be the only point we'll look at tonight. Let's look at verse number 41 of Acts chapter number 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added into the church about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men that every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, bless the reading of your word and our brief time together tonight as we look at this last portion, Lord, of the acronym WIFE on expression. May we glean as we review, and may we learn some things. May we be challenged, Lord. May we be reminded how we as a church, Father, and what makes a church great, Father. It's the people within the church obeying the word, living for Christ, that makes us so spectacular, the power of God upon our life. Now, Father, bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we mentioned several weeks ago, we said worship, and the members of the early church worship God. They set their focus, that first blank, they set their focus on God. There was a sense of worship. And I know it can be hard, but can imagine how much more effective we are in ministry, Bible study, and in worship when we're able to focus in on the Lord and not all the distractions that are around us. And once we have tasted true worship, you will never want to play church again. That's something we talked about 4 weeks ago. Again, that aspect of true worship. And I think I don't want to be a part and be involved in any way of just playing church, but being involved in being responsible what God has called us to do as a local church. And then we looked at instruction, not just worship, but instruction was in the church. There in our text, and those early Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then we looked at fellowship in verse 44. All that believed were together and had all things common. We're going to have some fellowship here in a few moments as we go over to the other building. And that's very important for us to have fellowship. Gentlemen, we meet together on Tuesdays very often through the week. Very seldom do we cancel for fellowship. As the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Ladies get together for fellowship. And it's good for us to have that we might encourage those around us. And then tonight, that last letter, WIFE, worship, instruction, fellowship, and then there was expression was in the church at Jerusalem. Notice here in verse number 47, this reveals, I believe, to me that it was a reaching body. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Notice that expression would include evangelism, a vision of missions, and a reaching out to those outside our circle who are in need of compassion. Again, that expression of reaching out with evangelism, missions, and those in need of compassion. Each and every day we run into someone that has a need of something. Often we run into someone who's seeking the truth. In my years of ministry, I'll share this and I'll move on. You may or may not have heard this before, but I really have talked to people that have arrived to church, talked to them after the service, some of them raising their hands in prayer because they don't know if God exists. They know that they're not saved according to the Word of God, and they just don't know what to do. And many of them talking to them, they said, well, preacher, pastor, I'm seeking the truth. I'm seeking the truth. Folks, there's folks out there that are seeking, and it's up to us to make sure that they can see clearly the way to Jesus Christ. Next week, I'm going to concentrate on this fourth point a little more, and a little more in detail. And again, we'll look at this great church at Jerusalem from the book of Acts in chapters 3 through 7. But however, tonight, during this time today, I want us to think about a few things. Notice with me that the church gathered. The church gathered. And during that time of gathering, they gathered and caring for one another. That is fellowship. Gathering and caring for one another. And then we see the church scattered and reaching out to others is expression. As we gather together, we have some time of fellowship, but we need to also scatter and reach out to others is expression. Are we expressing our faith to those that we meet? Are we expressing our faith when the door of opportunity opens up to tell somebody about Christ? Looking at verse 47 once again. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. What a scene. Here in ancient Jerusalem was a group of believers, notice with me, whose worship was spontaneous, whose instruction was substantial, whose fellowship was genuine, and whose expression was compassionate. How do we express our faith in the Word of God? Are we ready to spontaneously worship and to tell others about Christ? Do we look for opportunities when we're out and about to tell others about Christ? See, no wonder so many new folks were getting saved and being added to the church here in the book of Acts. What makes this fact so interesting is it was not just happening during formal church service and invitation on Sunday morning. It was happening daily. Daily, people were coming to know Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to get off my trail, get back on in just a moment. I'll just take a moment. Having the privilege of being on a foreign field, having the privilege of preaching to villages who have never seen a copy of God's Word, who has never lightened the doors of a church in a village in Eastern Europe, in a village in other parts of whether it be Moldova, Romania, Ukraine, Russia, Hungary, having these opportunities to preach in these villages and seeing people weep because they've never had a Bible. Hold the Word of God close to them and weep. And we take it for granted. Let's not get so comfortable. It's exciting to go and be a part of a ministry in a foreign land where the gospel has never been preached, where the wall came down in Eastern Europe and missionaries were able to get in. We were in awe the first year that we was in Moldova. It seemed like every time I stood to preach, Brother Leonard, somebody got saved. We had teenagers, college kids getting saved, mom and dad coming to church because their kids had changed and they want to know why. God just blessed. And folks, it is still going on mission fields around the world. And it can go on here. And we must ask ourselves, if God is no respecter of persons, what is part that God wants to do through our church, through me, that I might be hindering? Am I doing my part? Am I yielded? Am I ready to be used of the Lord? Am I involved in the worship and the fellowship of my church? Am I involved in the music that's being sung during the congregational singing? Am I involved with people that come in and interacting with them and making them feel warm? Are other people in the community seeing the spillover on Monday through Friday of what God did on Sunday morning? Folks, I'm from East Tennessee. You know that. And the popular announcement is the first game of the opening game at the University of Tennessee. It's always a home game. And like many of your home states as well, the announcer says, it's football time in Tennessee. All that week before the game, you see nothing but orange flags waving in every car as they're stuck in their windows. You can't go get gas at any gas station and pull up and pump that doesn't, somebody doesn't say, well, what kind of year are the Vols going to have? They don't even have to know you. They just start talking about football. And boy, if Tennessee wins on Saturday, have a good church day on church on Sunday, boy, it's all they talk about all week. But sure to be the same thing about our worship service on Sunday, on Monday through Friday. It ought to be the same excitement. It ought to be waking up Saturday morning, getting around and say, it's church time and worship time tomorrow morning. Do we get excited about it? Is there true worship? is there true expression as we're talking about tonight? See, when we embrace these four objectives that we've been talking about, several benefits come our way. Think about that for a moment. Let me recap this before I go through that. That aspect of worship, instruction, fellowship, and then taking those things and going out with expression. You see, worship, as I mentioned before, was spontaneous. Instruction was substantial. Fellowship was genuine. And expression was compassionate. But also, we notice that our eyes get off ourselves and on the Lord when we worship Him, when we put our objective on Him. Our own petty differences are minimized when the results in a deeper unity in our relationships with one another. Folks, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about Him. And when we come together in worship and lift our voices together, whether it be the preaching of the Word of God and the amens and the encouragement, the congregational singing as we lift our voices, the special music, we should be in unity and moving together in the same direction because we want God to work. We don't want to hinder of what's going on. You know, every once in a while, kids get together. And they get together at our home, we have our grandkids. But every once in a while, there might be a grandchild or a granddaughter that gets a little mopey and they want to pout. And I might have to pull them aside and talk to them a little bit, try to encourage them. But there's one thing that I always try to do. I encourage them, I say, if you want to mope and you don't want to be a part of the crowd, go in the other room. Send them off in the other room. A few minutes later, I'll go in and I will talk with them and I'll love on them to make sure they're okay. And then I talk with them. I say, do you know why I asked you to go out? Because everyone else is having fun. Everyone else is rejoicing, and you're throwing a cold blanket, and they never understand that. You're throwing a cold blanket on all the joy. And I try to explain to them, you're making all of them sad when they're happy because you don't want to be a part. Dear friends, let me ask you, when we come to church, do we want to be a part? Do we want to invest our abilities, our worship, our being involved in the sense of I'm with the group, I'm here to worship. Sometimes I feel like I come to church and there's some I want to send back to the nursery to let them mope and then come out later. Get somebody to change them so they can come back in. I know we're saying, I know they're not wearing a diaper, I'm not talking about that change, but to change their heart, to change their attitude and then come back in. Let's not mope, let's get excited. Say, Lord, help me put my concerns, some things in my attitude that might be wrong, some things that are disruptive. Lord, help me just put them down and just enjoy the service. That's when we get our eyes off ourselves and on the Lord. That's when our petty differences are minimized, which result in a deeper unity in relationships because we put them aside. You see, when these four objectives are kept in balance, this creates a magnetism that makes the church irresistible. When the church is irresistible, then we become what the church was originally designed to be. Our world has changed. I gave just a little bit of taste of that this morning, talking about the song of The Wonder of It All, written in 1955 by George Beverly Shea, how much our world has changed since 1955. How much our world has changed since pre-COVID. How much our world has changed since 2020. Remember Y2K? How much things are changed. But they should be getting better. But we know with the word, for the Lord to return, things are going to wax worse and worse. But that should not be the case within the church. That's in the world. That shouldn't be the case in our life. That's in the world. We should come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We should be uniquely different. You see, in our modern day, theoretical world, it is easy to lose your way. So easy for the church to become little more than a museum, a dust collecting group of buildings and a piece of furniture. Lots of stuff to look at, but lacking dynamic relationship and purpose. So easy for the church to become nothing but an endless selective group of activities, series of activities with lots of motion and noise, but very little accomplishments of eternal significance. Does it burden you to come to church knowing there's people that are lost and leaving without somebody responding and trusting Christ? Does it bother you? It bothers me. I can't change it. I'm not going to twist anyone's arm. I'm not going to give anyone a false sense of security and know when they have a relationship with Christ. I pray for them. I'm praying for some now that's darkened our doors over the last several weeks that are lost as a goose in a hellstorm, who don't know if they'll spend eternity in heaven. And all they have to do is ask and allow someone to sit with them and show them again what they've heard through the preaching on how they know that they know that they know that they're going to heaven. Dear friends, that should grieve us. But it shouldn't ruin the rest of our week. It should grieve us enough to pray for their soul and asking the Lord, how can I make a difference? So, what shall our church be? A museum or a lighthouse? One of these museum pieces, one of those places with lots of hot air activities, or will our church be a place where the glory and power of Almighty God is seen and felt? Folks, that's not all on the preacher. That's on us as a church family. I need to study. I need to prepare. I need to present the gospel. And God help me, I'll always be as much as animated as I can, charismatic as I can, in my preaching, not in my theology, but in my preaching. But it's also you as a congregation being involved in the worship as well, and also being excited about what the Lord is doing. So will it be a lot of hot air again, or a place where the glory and power of Almighty God is seen and heard and felt, and the joy of the Lord saturates in the power of His Holy Spirit? What kind of church will we have? See, the answer is up to you and me. It's up to us on what kind of church that we'll have. What makes a church great? It's Him. But it happens because of what we do in fellowship, in relationship. It happens because what we decide to do in the area of worship, in receiving instruction, and in fellowshipping with the saints, and with expressing those things to others. I'll close with this thought tonight before we have a word of prayer and blessings on the food and the fellowship. Have you ever met anyone when they tell a story that they just have that expression and they really get into telling the story? They just can't sit and talk through a story. They have to almost kind of act it out. You know who I'm talking about. Some of you are that way. Some of you know people that are that way. Here's the point I'm trying to make. They get into the story. They just get excited about the story. I wonder how much a difference we could make in this lost world if we show just as much of excitement about what Jesus did for me and how He changed my life and what God's doing down at Harvest Baptist Church. I think some folks might just show up to see for themselves to see if you're telling the truth. Some folks just might show up to see what's going on. Years ago, before we pray, I was in a church service. Somebody actually came because of what they heard about the church. It was for the wrong reason, but I'm glad they came. They did end up joining, and they were part of our church, had four teenagers. She came because we're new to the area, and we heard about a couple churches here in the community. There was only a couple. We were one only independent Baptist church, a Baptist church of any kind in our city, and there was another new church plant Baptist church about 30 miles down the road. And they came to the church, and she just smiled and said, and let me know, and here's what she told me. Somebody told me that you were the meanest preacher they had ever met in their life. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if they're just under conviction and don't like red hot preaching. I'm going to go find out for myself. She came, they joined, and they were there for some time. But you know, the point I'm trying to make is somebody was vocal about the church and about me. She never told me who it was. Probably wasn't anyone that had ever been there, but rumor gets around. Before you know it, someone else is talking about what took place down there at Onsback Baptist Church, and she comes over. But here's one point I'm going to make. What do we say about our Lord? What do we say about our church? What do we say about our services? And the people in the community that know us, do they know where we go? Do they know how excited we are about worshiping? Do they know what's going on at Harvest Baptist Church and how God is working? And how we can't wait to see Him do more. Folks, if that won't attract people to go, especially if they're going to an old, dead, dry church, it's bound to provoke them to consider about coming somewhere else. Dear friends, we make the difference. What makes a church great? It's Him But he chooses to use us to make a difference in the life of others. That they hear the music, they see the fellowship, they feel loved, they feel received, they hear the preaching, and in time, they respond. I've had people come to church for weeks and months unsaved and then get saved. I've seen others walk in the doors for the first time ever in their life being in church and walk the aisle and trust Christ. Everyone is different. I'm not giving up on anyone. I'm not throwing in the towel. And I'm going to keep on preaching the best I can, as hard as I can, until the Lord tells me otherwise. And until then, let's do our part and be enthusiastic, excited, and prepared to worship, and prepared to be instructed, and prepared to fellowship, and then take that out as we go and use that expression to tell others what Christ has done for us in our life. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and once again, we thank you for your goodness and blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Father, I pray that you would bless the food, and Lord, bless the hands that prepared it, Lord, as we go over to the fellowship hall and have a time of fellowship, a time of encouragement. Father, I thank you for sending the Prudentino family our way, and what a privilege it has been to get to know him a little better, and now him being part of our mission family. We're so excited. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get to know him better tonight over a meal and a time of fellowship. And Lord, help us to remember and to continue to thrive on the aspect of fellowship, Father, of instruction, Father, and just being prepared and ready to worship you, and then use that expression that you give us through the power of the Holy Spirit that others may see Christ in our life. Father, help us to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, God loves you.